Did you know that every 10 years our entire skeleton changes? It's called remodeling. Bone breaks down or dissolves, and new bone forms in its place. Dr. Clifford Rosen is a senior scientist at the Maine Medical Center Research Institute. He says as you get older, keeping the bones strong and healthy requires a balance that's difficult to achieve.
In order to keep that balance, you've got to form bone. And with aging, that new bone formation can't keep up. It just doesn't keep up with the dissolving of bone.
Dr. Rosen and other scientists have been trying to figure out why new bone cells don't form as well as we age. The old cells don't simply die or disappear. Instead, the research shows that they turn into fat cells. That's right, fat cells that are stored in the bone marrow. Why does that happen?
Well, one reason is it's easier for them to become a fat cell than a bone cell because all they have to do is sit there and accumulate fatty acids and store their fat, whereas a bone cell has to lay down bone. It's a very active, energy-dependent process.
Most people's bones are as dense as they'll ever be between the ages of 18 and 25. By the time you reach 35, density begins to gradually decrease. Bone loss happens in men and women, but loss of estrogen after menopause gives aging women a double whammy. Without estrogen, a woman can lose as much as 20% of her bone mass in 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, so estrogen's a big deal. So if estrogen is around, you prevent that shift from going on. It's the most powerful signal to prevent forming cells from becoming fat cells.
Losing bone can lead to osteoporosis or brittle bones. Osteoporosis causes about 1.5 million fractures every year in the United States. Not all postmenopausal women develop osteoporosis or its precursor osteopenia, and not all will have fractures. To figure out a woman's risk, most guidelines recommend getting a DEXA screening at or around age 65. A DEXA scan uses low-dose radiation to measure the amount of bone mass in the hip and spine. It compares the results to those of a healthy younger woman. The comparison, known as a T-score, gives a good idea of how much bone mass you may have lost over the years.
They don't tell you the quality of your bone. They just tell you the mass of your bone. And your mass is then measured against the 35-year-old. And it gives you some estimate of how far below a young, healthy female, in your case, 35-year-old, would be. How low is your bone relative to that? Now, it's a good predictor of fracture. It's not perfect.
DEXA scans are recommended for women over 65, men over 70, anyone with a broken bone who's over 50, postmenopausal women with risk factors such as height loss, medication use, certain diseases, and family history. So at what point do you treat someone in order to prevent a fracture? Not too long ago, many women with osteopenia were automatically treated with osteoporosis medications. The goal was to prevent future fractures. That approach is no longer recommended.
You know, we tended to overtreat a decade ago.
Overtreating, though? How do you characterize overtreating?
Overtreatment is treating somebody who's at relatively low risk. So somebody who just has osteopenia doesn't necessarily mean they're at high risk. It's really when you get outside of 2, 2.5 standard deviations, those are the people that are at highest risk.
But here's where striking a balance becomes important again. In the past few years, the treatment pendulum appears to have swung in the opposite direction. Instead of overtreating osteopenia, the number of women taking osteoporosis drugs has gone way down.
It's now to the point that it's hard to convince people to take the drug. And now we're trying to convince people backwards that those who are at highest risk, somebody 70 years old has had a previous fracture, those people should be on the drugs because they do work.
What does Dr. Rosen recommend for women who are not high risk but still need to keep their bones healthy? It's a simple formula. No smoking, very moderate alcohol intake, regular exercise, especially weight-bearing exercise, healthy weight, don't get obese, healthy food to keep your microbiome intact. Your microbiome is the collection of microscopic organisms, such as bacteria and fungi, that live on and in your body. Millions and millions. They're on our skin, in our mouths, on our teeth, and in our stomachs and the rest of the digestive system. Most research has focused on how some microorganisms cause disease. We're now learning more and more about the critical role they play in keeping us healthy, right down to our bones.
You want to keep a healthy microbiome. You want to make sure that your bacteria in your gut are symbiotic with your body. And probiotics are very, very helpful. And there's some data that probiotics can also prevent some of the estrogen-mediated bone loss that occurs after menopause.
In general, postmenopausal women who are thin and small-framed are at higher risk of developing osteoporosis. I'd heard that putting on a few extra pounds might offer some protection against osteoporosis because fat cells produce estrogen. Well, here's what Dr. Rosen has to say about that.
The old saw that you just gain weight, you won't have osteoporosis. That's not true. Okay, the more obese you are, the more inflammation is produced from fat cells. So your heart and your cardiovascular system is going to be targeted, but your skeleton will be targeted as well. So you want to stay away from inflammation of any kind. Chronic inflammation is not good for the system, and it's not good for the skeleton.
And what about supplements? Should you take calcium supplements, vitamin D? Yes on the calcium, but maybe not as much as you think. Dr. Rosen believes it should be easy for most women to get 1,000 milligrams from their diet. Calcium-rich foods include dairy products and fortified foods and drinks. Women under 50 and men under 70 need 1,000 milligrams a day. Women over 50 and men over 70 need 1,200 milligrams a day. As for vitamin D, if you live in New England instead of the South, it's true that you won't get as much from sunlight.
But we don't think that that has any implications for either the skeleton or for any chronic diseases. We think that you really have to have really low vitamin D before you get into any issues in your bones.
Really low, which can be determined with a blood test, is well below 20 nanograms per milliliter. If it's that low, it's important to know why.
That's a different story. You know, your doctor should investigate why is it low.
Okay.
African Americans have it low because of skin pigmentation, but others, it's important to know if there's another reason. The other interesting thing is obesity contributes to low vitamin D. And so again, staying away from obesity is really important.
In addition to sunlight, you can get some vitamin D in wild-caught mackerel, salmon, and tuna, and some fortified milk and orange juice. People under 50 need 400 to 800 IUs a day. People over 50 need 800 to 1,000 IUs a day. And now, it's time to exercise. If you need some inspiration, here are some good choices. Brisk walking, hiking, running, dancing, kickboxing, housework, yoga, Tai Chi, Pilates, golf, and racket sports. Remember that you need to do weight-bearing exercises. You want to use your own body weight to work against gravity. A brisk walk is weight-bearing. A brisk swim is not. So, this is a lot of information to take in, but it's important information. Thank you for listening to the latest research on why we lose bone as we age and what we can do about it. I'm Diane Atwood, and I write the blog Catching Health. You can read the blog at catchinghealth.com. And when you're there, be sure to subscribe.